God, we glorify you this morning. God, we send to you from this place a fragrant offering, God, of praise, of singing, God, and dancing, God, and art, God, and everything we have, God, all that's within us, we send to you here from Little Church by the Sea, God. We love you, Lord. We give you our hearts afresh today. God, of anybody here this morning who's struggling, God, who is having a hard time, I pray your love would come and fill them from the inside out. Fill them, God, with a joy, Lord, they've never known before. Help us to rise above all our circumstances, God, and worship you. Help us, God, to turn our gaze upon the beauty of your face. God, we as a church give ourselves to you, and even though it's been a long time since those folks in the Kidron Valley said, "Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord," we say it again and again and again. Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you glory and honor this morning at Little Church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Isaac, Mr. Isaac, did you put the scripture from the beginning of the service back up for me? I want to very briefly point out a couple of things here that is very unusual. What's very unusual is not so much what the people are doing, which is glorifying God and praising him, even though they didn't quite understand it all, because these same people would be yelling, crucify him, just six more days. But what is unusual is that apart from Jesus saying, "I tell you, these stones will cry out," is that Jesus really isn't responding back much at all. And the reason he's not responding back as much as we might think he would, and the reason this is so unusual for him to be writing and receiving this kind of adulation, is that he always refused this before. Jesus never, ever sought the praise of men. He never wanted to be noticed. He never asked for anybody to point him out. He was the humble king, is who he was. And he did not care to have the praises of men. One day he walked into a very distinguished man's house whose daughter had died. His name was Jairus. And he put his hands on the little girl and she came back to life. And he said to the little girl's dad, "Tell no one what's just happened. No one." Can you imagine if you raised somebody from the dead? Would you tell somebody? "Don't tell anybody what I just did." No, I don't think so. Well, you know, I read my Bible. It's helpful. He goes up the Mount of Transfiguration, and he is elevated into the Shekinah glory of God. And Moses is on one side of him, and Elijah is on the other side. And Peter, James, and John are just like blown away. They just like are looking up at what they're seeing. They're seeing heaven opened up. And when it's over and they come walking down the mountain, Jesus says to Peter, James, and John, "Don't tell anybody what you've just seen." When he fed the 5,000 with just a couple of fish and a little bit of bread, right then, the scriptures say, they wanted to make him a king. And he refused. And he got as fast as he could up the mountain where it says he withdrew to be alone. He withdrew to be by himself. So how do we account for this? How do we account for this one time here that he is willing to receive this praise and worship, even though he knew exactly the hearts of these men and women, whoever it was? Why is he receiving it now and never did before? The reason is this. Jesus came to this earth to fulfill his Father's will. And he came to this earth to fulfill his Father's words. And the scriptures, of which many hundreds have been written of him, specified that something must be done on this day. And the passage is found in Zechariah 9:9. I'd like all of you to open your Bibles and turn to Zechariah. If you go to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and just go back about five pages, you will find it. Zechariah 9:9. It is really one of the beautiful verses in the minor prophets, and especially in Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 9. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and rejoice and shout in triumph, O daughters of Jerusalem. So we have a call for the daughters of Zion and a call for the daughters of Jerusalem to rejoice greatly and shout in triumph. Why? Because someone's coming. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation. Well, how is he coming? He's coming as a humble man mounted on a donkey, even the colt, the foal of a donkey. Why did Jesus receive the acclamation here, as he never had before? Was to fulfill this mighty verse. He fulfilled his Father's word and went riding in on that donkey. There's a poem on the right side of your bulletin that talks about that verse. And part of that poem says something like, now if you're a king, why didn't you come in on a stallion? Because Jesus was a humble servant. May God help you and I this morning to be like Jesus, to be humble like him. But it is so hard, isn't it? It is so hard not to be noticed of men, not to be desirous of the approval of men, of the acclamation of men, of not wanting to be told we're important. Jesus didn't want any of it. He just wanted to be humble before his Father and before all of us in Scripture. Can you imagine that kind of attitude, living with that sort of attitude? He actually esteemed others as more important than himself. For every single one of you, Randy, Sally, Vicky, Chelsea, he esteemed you more important than himself because he went and died for you. That's the kind of Savior we have.